Hello and welcome to your Rate My League preview show. I'm Andy Goldstein, joined by Luke Giesbrecht, and today we're looking at Golden Empire, Standard Scoring Dynasty, IDP League, 12-teamer, and Rob bought the show. Thank you so much to Rob for getting this all set up. Just like Get a Life, we have seen Golden Empire a number of times now, so it does mean a lot to us to have a league keep coming back. It warms our hearts here. We do have a lot to get to, Luke, but we did have to mention at the top of the show, unfortunately, we do have some unfortunate news here. One of the managers from Golden Empire, unfortunately, did pass away last season. And as Rob writes here, it was Eric Seifert. Eric was a father, a brother, a son, a baseball coach, a stand-up comedian. I mentioned this on the Get a Life show. I don't know if we have a lot of different managers here, but Rob did send me a link to some of Eric's stand-up that he did, and that was awesome to hear. There were actually a few good jokes about football.
It was a tight set, yeah.
Well, there were some good jokes about football in there, which actually I found pretty fun. I was like thinking about it while I was listening, like, other than like Frank Caliendo and Jimmy Kimmel back in the day, I don't know if I've heard a lot of comedians doing NFL jokes, which I, of course, ate up. I'm all about the NFL stand-up. Like, that should be a thing. And a bowler, apparently, which is right up my alley. No pun intended. I also love to bowl. So, very unfortunate news here. And we did want to give a quick moment of silence for Eric there. Okay, here we go. We got 8 starters in this league for offense. We have 4 for defense, 1 quarterback, 1 running back, 1 wide receiver, 1 tight end, 1 kicker. We have 3 flex plays on offense. On the defensive side, 1-1-1 DLLBDB, and then 1 IDP flex. There was a little confusion with the last show. There was no tackle scoring for IDP in the Get a Life League. I did double check. There is tackle scoring for IDP in this league. So expecting to see some more safeties as opposed to cornerbacks in this league. Let's get going. They know how it works. We've done this a few times, so we should dive right in so we get more time talking about the teams here. Number 12, the best around. The best around. Number 12 in total and starter redraft value here. It is at least a younger team on the offensive side of the ball, 25.4 average starter age. Big dynasty gain from one Mr. Rome Odunze. They're 1.07 selection.
What?
We will get to. Now, look, it is standard scoring, so running backs certainly get more value. And there are some leagues, especially I would say old school leagues, where quarterbacks are sometimes more valuable, or at least that's the perception in some of these leagues.
No, for sure.
So we'll see how the draft filtered out. But it is very odd to see Rome Odunze go at 1.07. I feel like I've done more one quarterback leagues this year than previous years, which is a little strange since Superflex seems to be taking over in a big way. But I'm not sure we've seen Rome Odunze go this low. Maybe once.
I haven't seen him go that low in Superflex.
Yeah. I mean, it's rare in Superflex. I have seen it. I mean, in Superflex, you see a little bit more variety sometimes.
Yeah, I think I mean, he falls into that range. Like, I think I've seen him at 6 a fair bit. But yeah. I think it's just, great value, honestly, for the owner. And, it's a nice place to be. Had those 3 first-round draft picks this year. As you mentioned, was able to hit quarterback in the first round, which is sometimes a necessity. I mean, maybe not a requirement for this team, seeing as they were sitting on Anthony Richardson and Matthew Stafford, plus Russell Wilson. But with those 2 older quarterbacks, it was kind of nice to add Jaden Daniels, and then took a big rip.
Plus Richardson's sort of maybe not the safest.
This is true. He does not have a track record of health so far. And then a big rip at tight end with Ben Sinnott at 110.
That is extremely early. That is extremely early.
Feels early. And I mean, I don't love Pat Freiermuth. I know you do. And maybe I just wanted to trigger you there a little bit. But I he's not someone you're like, oh, this is an amazing scoring opportunity. But that is, yeah, that is taking a big shot at him. And I don't.
And Taysom Hill in standard scoring is actually.
It's pretty fine, too, especially at tight end. Yeah, I think that's pretty fine. So, yeah, interesting rookie blow up on this, on the shots there. Wide receiver obviously needed Roma Dunze. Like, yes. can't think of a team that needed a big influx of wide receiver talent more. Sitting on Jacoby Myers, Darnell Mooney. Obviously, again, with the roster construction, you're not forced to have to start too many players in any position, but you do still need to be able to fill those flex spots. And, yeah, this is a team who... yeah, needs help everywhere, and at least Dunze is that first real concrete building block with obviously Jaden Daniels, Anthony Richardson to kind of start to see that movement forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth mentioning running back and wide receiver for this team both dead last in the
dead
league.
Last, yeah.
Right now, Chase Brown is the number one running back. They're projected to start Zeke and Antonio Gibson on this team. And Jacoby Myers on this team. So, yeah, I'm still expecting a pretty a record that would fall somewhere closer to zero wins than like six wins.
I think you put the over under around like 3.5, yeah. And you feel pretty good about it because I like Chase Brown. The format doesn't obviously make him that interesting. Maybe Zeke gets a bit of a boost in that format. Zeke, you could maybe. Like, I think this is you're looking at doing roster management. You're looking at doing picking up additional draft picks. So Zeke is somebody you maybe hope to sell. Stafford, Wilson, all should be on the list.
I don't think there's anyone necessarily untouchable on this.
That makes sense. Yeah, I was gonna say, like, do you maybe like, you know, play the field a little bit with Anthony Richardson, Jaden Daniels, because they kind of are similar, and you see if someone wants to pay a lot.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get a great price for him, absolutely. Again, this team is kind of far away, so. Like Richardson, if he's having a good year, might be a candidate to sell because we do know that he has had some health issues. And, you know, do you want to play the long game with Anthony Richardson? Maybe you can just translate that into some solid draft capital and get multiple pieces out of that. I mean, Odunze, you're probably holding on to at this point, but everyone else seems like could be traded for the right price. Technically, I will say this team is number one in future draft capital. We don't have a lot of future draft capital being moved in this league so far, and we do use dynamic draft pick evaluation. So, again, the teams that have the worse redraft rosters have more valuable draft capital, and this team has an extra second rounder next year. And they have their own very, very valuable picks because they are projected to be 1.01 for the next couple years at least. So this team, number one in future draft capital. How about IDP?
I mean, it's too good, if I'm being honest. We got them ranked fifth. I mean, based on where they're going to be scoring. Yeah, they've got some guys that I think the teams towards the top of this show are going to want. It's like Daniil Hunter, a guy you should absolutely be shopping based on age. Folasay Olukon, absolutely a guy who's scoring now. We've got some tackle points. That's a huge linebacker you're going to be excited about. Buda Baker is up there in age. Jeremy Chin, a guy who's found potentially an opportunity to get some points back. You cash out on that name cachet. I would just be, pennies on the dollar. If people were offering me fourths and fifths, I'd send them out the door. Just get this, because that's when you're doing a rebuild, the last thing you need to fix is IDP. You can find those guys much, much, much easier later in drafts and in waivers. And plus, just with the way the offensive count is, you've got 8 offensive starters, only 4 IDP starters. They're just less impactful. So you feel free to let them go and then just take those shots on offense when you can.
28.8 average starter age on the IDP side feels like a place where they should make some moves, any moves that they could possibly make. 3.21 is the team score. Helmet Sickers here, futures golden, most draft capital, paralyzed, worst rated one, running back position, burning out his fuse. Worst rated wide receiver position. Let's play this one. I think it sucks.
Hi, this is Jim Mora, former coach of the New Orleans Saints and the Indianapolis Colts. And this is a disgraceful roster. In my opinion, it sucks. Playoffs? Are you kidding me? Playoffs? This team will be lucky, lucky to win a game.
Thank you, Coach Jim Mora, for eviscerating the best Durant. I'm not going to lie. The first time I read that team name, I was like, what's Zabis Durant? I don't get it. Number 11, One-Eyed Pugs. One-Eyed Pugs. I don't get that one either. Number 11 in total and starter redraft value. This team is on the older side, on the offensive side of the ball. 27.9 average starter age. They do lose some dynasty value here, although they do stay at number 11 for the dynasty ranking. Well, wide receiver not helping out a ton. They don't have a top 20 consensus redraft wide receiver on the roster, and they only have one wide receiver who's a top 35 consensus redraft player, and that would be T. Higgins. After that, DeAndre Hopkins, Cortland Sutton, Tyler Lockett. Not a who's who at the wide receiver position in 2024.
No, players of yesteryear, for sure. DeAndre Hopkins, I think, would have been the guy you kind of had the best opportunity to maybe still cash out on, but that knee injury all of a sudden really kind of slows things down. And that gives Calvin Ridley just enough opportunity to kind of really sneak in there and solidify himself, which is scary. Yeah, I mean, the Burrow T. Higgins stack is nice. I know that statistically stacks really don't matter at all, but they're nice and they feel good and they do win you weeks when they pop off just from a general scoring perspective. But
for one more year anyway.
Yeah, and then he is probably gone at that point. I mean, you feel good about quarterback with Love and Burrow. I think that's where you feel strongest. Daniel Jones is, again, a guy who's probably got one more year left looking at that contract. They have to at least give him another crack. But the NFL is getting very good at moving away from dead money. So contracts, regardless of how much, it's the guaranteed dollars is the only thing that will ever really keep someone on a roster, because that's the billionaire's money, and we know they hate spending money. So
running back is interesting. David Montgomery is the number one. Zamir White in standard scoring. Zamir White.
Interesting for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Should be. It feels like a very backwards offense in general for the Raiders. So I think that's good for Zamir. 3 yards in a cloud of dust could be a
pass. Edwards falls in the same category. So they'll make it a little bit better scoring. And then Ty Chandler and Julian McLaughlin, as far as like depth goes, or guys that fall into that kind of zero RB drafting strategy, they fall to the bottom of a lot of people's lists of who you kind of want to look in late rounds. So if one of those guys ends up sneaking into the opportunity, might be worth trying to move, although both of them kind of do fall into that third down running back catch and passes, which is not as much value as we would hope.
And the draft here.
Oh yeah.
No first through fourth round picks. That is kind of brutal for a team that's in this situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, took a couple shots on the Philly wide receivers this year. Anaya Smith didn't really pan out via camp early. Both him and Johnny Wilson did at least make the roster. Opportunity to maybe kind of see what happens. But the addition of Jahan Dotson really makes neither of those guys have any upside for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because there was a moment before Dotson got there that it sounded like Johnny Wilson was going to be the number three wide receiver.
He really did. Look, he was beating out Paris Campbell pretty easily, I thought.
And then he got hurt.
Yeah. And then it just kind of, and now he's IR designated to return right now and might end up slipping off the roster to train to practice squad at that point. But that's just, you know, tough luck. And you kind of take your shots with those picks. Like you can't besmirch someone from just kind of finding a good offense and saw that hole at wide receiver three. They unfortunately just filled it via trade. Sitting on their own future draft capital keeps them number four, which is nice. Tight end. Jonnu Smith is ranked very poorly. I don't think tight end 30 is fair, honestly. I think he could smash that, absolutely annihilate it. Like, you tell me he finishes top 20 in tight end scoring, I absolutely can see a world when that happens.
I agree with you. I think there's an opportunity for him there in Miami. However, there's no reason this team should. There's no reason we should be talking about Jonnu Smith. You can't have, you can't find another guy. Or I just can't imagine how a team just ends up in this situation where their top tight end is tight end 30 in consensus. I don't get it. How about IDP?
Lack of draft capital maybe over the last couple of years. The IDP is, it's got some nice names. It's a little weak, but it's got some nice pieces. I mean, Josh Allen and Trey Hendrickson are both young, talented players. Xavier McKinney's a nice safety. Alex Singleton, is a guy who just keeps getting snaps. Like, he has worked his way into starting roles continuously, kind of gets the middle and gets to be a tackle clogger. So is a decent IDP group. Again, when you're this far down, I don't really want points there. I mean, yeah, it is what it is. Maybe you keep some of the DL points, but otherwise definitely kind of shop what you can, and then probably hold on to some of that future draft capital moving forward to kind of give some restock for this team. Do you trade T. Higgins? I know he's like the young, nice piece on this team, but is he too alone?
Yeah, I also he's been banged up, so I feel like his value is still impacted by the fact that he hasn't been on the field a ton. I think he is a candidate to trade maybe in season, because he could get back into that top 15 discussion because he's been there before. They do have their first and second rounders next year, at least. They're number 4 in future draft capital. I would hold on to those picks. 3.37 is the team score here. My achy breaky heart, worst rated tight end position. Let's play this one. End of the contender. It's the end of the contender. For the oldest projected starting lineup in the league. Not great combos here. Bad old. Missing some future draft capital. Number 10, Gluten for Punishment. Number 10 in total redraft value. Number 9 in starter redraft value. Very young team. 24.1 is the average starter age. You'd expect a lot of dynasty growth here. Not so much. They hold their dynasty value. They stay at number 10 for the dynasty ranking. Yeah, it's weird. There's just not a lot of guys on this team who move in dynasty value. You'd expect to see some more movement, like Caleb Williams gains dynasty value, and that's great. But, you know, they have other young guys like Breece Hall. He's already at the top. Not going to get a lot of dynasty growth from him. And then at wide receiver, I guess Keon Coleman just doesn't have enough value right now. He gains some, but not enough to move the needle. I was going to say...
You mentally prepared me for this.
Yeah, I did.
In the last show, when you're like, we'll talk about Caleb Williams again. And I was like, oh, I wonder where... My brain is just still trying to fully process this.
Caleb at 1.01. How about that?
So you lost Justin Fields.
Yes.
Which I feel like hurts a lot because of the fantasy. Like, maybe we can make arguments that Justin Fields is not an excellent NFL quarterback. And I feel like that's a much more tangible conversation. But he was a very fine fantasy QB.
Yes.
You still had Will Levis, who's worked himself into a starting job, but maybe a little bit shaky. We're looking into a new regime there. He maybe is only going to get one kick at the can. And if it goes bad, they might be reloading next year. Still. Marvin Harrison Jr. was a, not to use it lightly, but a generational talent at wide receiver.
Yes, he is ranked as the highest rated rookie wide receiver ever, by the way. Mm-hmm. By like a mile.
And maybe that's a little bit of groupthink and everybody wanting to. But as far as someone who is even going to retain value, regardless of what he did this year, he was still going to fall into the top 12 ranked dynasty wide receivers, no matter what things happen. If he pops off, we could see it get to the silly point where he is wide receiver 2-3 next year when people start to talk about it. It's just a really hard pill to swallow. I understand non-PPR.
Yes.
Wide receivers take a hit, for sure. And there wasn't a running back to go get. But, oof.
And it's not like, I mean, sometimes we do see teams that are just loaded at a position, and you're like, well, I would have traded back, I guess, but that's what you did. This team was not loaded at wide receiver. A.J. Brown, great number one, but after that it falls off to Keon Coleman, the wide receiver 49. They did get Coleman at 2.01, so pretty good value on him anyway.
That's nice for sure.
And they only have to start one, so, you know, they can say, well, I'm fine at wide receiver. I don't need another wide receiver. I got
if
AJ
all goes
Brown.
Well, and A.J. Brown has been a picture of health, and as an Eagles fan, man, I hope that continues.
But, I mean, the flip side is they don't have enough players to fill in the starting requirements at running back. You know, Bucky Irving is running back 3 on this roster. Yeah, it's not like they're loaded at a certain position.
No, Keon Coleman becoming a flex starter right away is definitely scary. It feels like it could have almost been a good team with Marvin Harrison Jr. And like, yeah, it's tough. I mean, obviously there's a world where this owner goes, hey, Caleb Williams is the guy now, and I'm fine, and I will continue to do my build, because sitting on all their own future draft capital, it is a very good wide receiver draft next year. It's looking quite strong. I'm a big Debbie fan, so I like to keep my ear to the ground as far as college goes. There's some really good opportunity there, but I just, yeah, like Breece Hall, Josh Jacobs feels nice. Like, it feels like that's a good one too. I think Josh Jacobs in a non-PPR is a really nice flex play.
Yeah, I mean, this is the number five running back group, number four starters at running back, thanks to just Breece Hall and Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, tight end is fine with Musgrave. It's not good. It's a deficiency for
sure.
You're
just used to seeing Jonnu Smith. So
yeah.
How about IDP?
Very good, honestly. I mean, I we've got the middle of the pack from a ranking perspective, but sitting on Max Crosby, Khalil Mack is a nice one too. Drake Jackson, unfortunately, going to IR again, was a guy I really had high hopes for. Demario Davis, you have a nice veteran who's going to score from a linebacker perspective. Peyton Wilson has an opportunity to be one of the better linebacker rookies. Yeah, if I'm going to kind of end us being mean a lot, I will say I think the rest of the draft went pretty well for the owner. Like, I Bucky Irving, Jalen McMillan, Javon Baker, I think that's like hit. I like those three pretty well.
Yeah, and even I'm not a huge Keon Coleman fan, but the value at 2.01 in standard scoring, even there, I think that's fine as well. Team score here is 4.66. Helmet stickers. Ooh, thorny situation. Justin Fields and Caleb Williams are rostered. That is going to be an awkward locker
room. I've never seen that one.
Yeah. Let's play this one. You know what's funny? I thought I was going to see that everywhere. I thought every Justin Fields team that had an opportunity to take Caleb Williams should just do it. And it hasn't been that popular. But let's play this one. Hey, rookie.
Hey, rookie. You were good.
For having the most rookie starters here, Keon Coleman, a projected starter. Is Caleb? Yeah, Caleb is also a projected starter here. So we got two, right? Or at least on the offensive side. Number nine, Beagles. Number nine in total redraft value. Number 10 in starter redraft value. 26 years old per starter. They do gain some dynasty value here. They stay at number nine for the dynasty ranking. Where do we want to start? They do have a strong tight end situation with Mark Andrews and Jake Ferguson here. That's pretty good, but is it enough to really lift this roster into playoff contention? That number nine ranking would suggest that they are at least in the conversation for being a playoff.
Yeah, so they're gonna be fighting for the bubble for sure.
Yeah, they're gonna need some breakout performances. They did pick Ladd McConkey at 1.09. It's fine. It just depends on, is he going to be a talent or is he going to be a situational play where he's the only guy who's going to catch passes? And I don't know. I worry about his value because I feel like he doesn't have a ton of value insulation if he has not a tremendous year. Like, if he gets a 600, 700-yard season, is he going to gain much value?
Probably not. I would say that's probably pretty fair. And that I think you'll always kind of, as long as that wide receiver room seems as empty as it does, like, I think we've all kind of written off Quentin Johnston, so let's just ignore that. Josh Palmer does kind of what he does, another guy rostered on this team. There's always just the opportunity that one of these big wide receivers moves to the Chargers and just implodes his value. So I think that is definitely a risk that you're right. Like, no one in the Chargers organization is going to go, we have Ladd McConkey, we don't need to go out and get whoever's available.
Especially when they're picking like fourth overall next year.
Right. I think running back holds it back more, in my opinion. Like, okay. I think the Debo Pittman is enough. Christian Watson, I don't feel good about, but just A-Chain, DeAndre Swift, Austin Eckler. Swift in this format, I don't feel great in a flex position. Like, I think that's looking at the teams where we've kind of seen them with this format. I don't think that's enough.
Yeah, it's definitely a little bit scary. All of those guys would be better served in some kind of point per reception, half point per reception kind of scoring, at least up through Eckler. Do you have any thoughts about the Kyren Williams punt returner? Or I'm sorry, punt returner with Blake Corum?
I think that's one of when we opened the show, you said sometimes it's good to put your head in the sand. That's honestly one of those things that I'm just like, that's just something a coach said, and I don't know. Because like the statistics behind people who get punt return snaps are not good. They don't tend to play first team snaps. Kyren hasn't shown us anything. I mean, that I'd be concerned, but Blake Corum is a good running back. I do think he has an opportunity to get in there, and at least as an excellent handcuff would come in and be valuable from an injury perspective. But yeah, I'm just going to ignore the coach speak until we watch some football. I think moving to the rest of the roster, it's quarterback is fine. Trevor Lawrence, Deshaun Watson, Geno Smith is a lot. Like, it's good. I think you could probably clear some of the chaff from the bottom of this. You don't need to be holding on to Zappe, Plummer, Malik Cunningham, even though I know he got a new opportunity in Green Bay. Probably just cut it. You're probably fine. Take some additional shots at some zero RB targets, some additional wide receivers, and just kind of go for the best. IDP is a thing that's weighing this team down. It's not going to give them a bunch of additional points. They are sitting on some nice, good players. Dallas Turner, Sauce Gardner, Brian Branch, all good. Bobby Okereke is an excellent linebacker who's going to score you some points. Chris Jones, Jonathan Allen, defensive tackles I don't love over defensive ends when you're playing defensive line, but Chris Jones is a guy who definitely scores enough points and makes enough impact plays that he's worth starting. Maybe someone you look to sell to somebody who could actually use the points, though.
Team score here is 4.67. Helmet stickers, hamstrung. Christian Watson projected as a starter. Please, sir, may I have some more? Trevor Lawrence projected as a starter in one quarterback. Look, I like Trevor Lawrence. I feel like anytime you try to say anything negative about Trevor Lawrence, there's like a horde of people, fantasy experts who are like, look at this guy, he doesn't know anything. All I'm saying is I'm ready to see some more from Trevor Lawrence. I need a little bit more than what I've been given so far. Number 8, San Antonio Maulers. Number 5 in total and sort of redraft value here. This is a team knocking on the door in terms of this year's competitiveness. There's no reason to think this team can't make some noise come playoff time if they are able to get into the playoffs. When you have Jalen Hurts as your quarterback, when you have Mike Evans and Nico Collins and DK Metcalf and now Malik Nabers, their 1.04 selection. Oh, by the way, Malik Nabers 1.04.
Excellent value.
Yeah, when you get those guys in the playoffs, they could be something. So this team is not ranked this low because of what they are going to be this year, or at least what they're projected to be this year. The problem is they do have some dynasty loss on the roster. Evans is a big dynasty loser here, and they do fall, unfortunately, to number 8 in the dynasty ranking. That's kind of the big thing that does drop them a little bit in the rankings. I will also say the Rate My League staff apparently hates this team. The Rate My League, and that's sort of a small percentage of what goes into the team score. But I guess sometimes if it's extreme, it can actually have an impact.
Especially if there's doesn't count that much.
Yeah. If there's like a bunch of teams that are very close in team score, then the Rate My League staff value might be able to play a role if it's really extreme. And in this case, it kind of is extreme. We have a ranked 10th in redraft value. So maybe that's playing a little bit of a role here, too. But overall, I think this is a team that could be a little spicy.
That's interesting. I feel like I'm a little bit too concerned about running back to, like, call it that. I think with the scoring format, I think you feel better about it than if it was a PPR league, which is a nice place to be. Brian Robinson, Tajay Spears, Jerome Ford, all guys I feel like don't really benefit a tremendous amount from the passing game. Jerome Ford, I think, obviously is going to be a starter for you for a couple weeks. And then once Nick Chubb comes back, that's kind of where the RB38 ranking comes in. But it depends on when Chubb comes back. We know it's going to be at least 4 weeks. We got to see the hype videos of him doing static training, which has nothing to do with the agility of a knee ligament. So really hard to say. But if Jerome Ford ends up getting to keep a lot of that, and then what Tony Pollard does to Tajay Spears becomes interesting. Do you really think Brian Robinson is someone who can outperform that RB26 by a lot? Is that where your confidence comes from?
It's not even like I think the combination of Robinson and Tajay Spears and early season Jerome Ford and maybe late season Jalen Wright. Like again, they only have to start one running back.
Right.
So I really do believe in the wide receivers here. We have them ranked number three. They're actually the number two starter group at wide receiver, and they are all, to me, they're all guys who would be good in standard scoring, right? Evans,
yes. No,
big
totally.
Play, yeah. Touchdown guy. Nico Collins, big play, touchdown guy. DK Metcalf, big play, touchdown guy. And you would think Malik Nabers is going to be a big play, touchdown guy as well. So I am just, I would say I'm more confident about this wide receiver group being
just
able to carry the
carry the load. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously then talking about it, Jalen Hurts is obviously going to be an excellent player quarterback to give them good value. Bryce Young is enough, I think, from your quarterback to kind of do those spot fills. And not that Hurts has been the picture of health, but he at least seems robust enough that he continues to play games, even if he's got nagging injuries. I think tight end is obviously something you need to address if the owner feels like you do, you need to go make a move and get a tight end because Hunter Henry is not enough. I can't imagine in any world that you're happy with that.
How about IDP?
TJ Watt, Montez Sweat, Kayvon Thibodeau is amazing. I think that's an excellent set of combination. Logan Wilson on top of that is nice. Wags with some additional veteran depth is nice. It's a very good IDP group as a whole. It's number two overall, and they're sitting with some very good depth, maybe a little bit weaker in starters overall, but we really love that defensive line and DB grooms.
Team score here, 5.23. Helmet stickers, pump, or just one, I guess. Pump the brakes, as we sort of, as I mentioned. Lowest rated RML staff ranking versus consensus. Look, we hate this team. We hope they lose. If this team does poorly, it makes us look really good, for the record. I mean, Rate My League comes out smelling like a rose at that point. Number seven, Wise Guys. Let's start with the draft selection here. They took Jonathan Brooks at 1.05. If you didn't know anything else about the draft and you saw Jonathan Brooks at 1.05, you might say, oh, I guess that's a little early, but let's say you don't want quarterback, tight end, because usually we see Caleb Williams, Brock Bowers going at that spot. You know, it's a few picks, maybe two or three picks above his ADP. I can live with it. That, of course, is without the context of Rome Odunze being on the board. So this team goes with Jonathan Brooks over Rome Odunze.
Okay, so before we get the pitchforks out, let's take a look at the wide receiver room. It's Amon-Ra St. Brown, Devonta Smith, Terry McLaurin, yes. Deontay Johnson. Yes. So it's mildly deep. We have it ranked middle of the pack, sixth in starters and depth. You only need to start one. I see three guys I'm really comfortable starting, and I'm pretty excited about Deontay Johnson as an opportunity to be the guy in Carolina.
Yes.
That said, I still think I take Odunze, even though I know the owner is like, well, look at my running back room. Like, it's not good. But Mostert and Singletary is okay. I think you're fine starting Mostert. You're a big fan of what you think his touchdown upside can be again this year. Yep. In the scoring format. I think I can get on board that's enough. I've kind of been preaching that I really think Jonathan Brooks could be in a bit of a redshirt year. He's going to start on the PUP like we've seen, so he's going to miss those 4 weeks. He is going to get the baby gloves on when he comes in. Like, he is not going to come out and see 20 touches a game. It's going to be 12. It's going to be 14. He maybe at the playoffs will be enough for you, but that's if Carolina's like winning games. Like, if Carolina if Carolina's won two games 8 weeks in, they're not just going to give Brooks 240 carries. Like, he's going to get 160 carries on the year, and it's going
to
be tough.
Yeah, I've seen people try to compare him to Todd Gurley, who also spent the first, I think, three or four games or whatever, injured, not playing. And then Gurley came in and they started giving him big carries right away, pretty much.
Yeah, very different prospects and very different eras.
Yeah, and it's also, I mean, it's just like, where was Gurley drafted and where was Jonathan Brooks drafted?
Also, what did that do to Todd Gurley's career?
Yeah, right.
Remember when Todd Gurley washed out at 26?
Yeah.
It's tough. Maybe I'm wrong, but I have a little bit of concern that it's not going to be an impact.
I agree with you.
I don't know. Team's very strong at tight end. Yeah, obviously, Laporta makes you good. Number two immediately. You've got the tight end one. Not a lot of depth, obviously, but then feeling very good with CJ Stroud. maybe it was I could win this year if I got a good running back pick, right? Is that that's kind of where I get it? Because the IDP, again, is IDP is championship caliber. Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, Anton Winfield. You've got a top two player at two positions. Fred Warner, you can make an argument, is higher ranked than the linebacker five pretty easily. Good depth at linebacker with names like Eric Kendricks, Ejon Cooper as a rookie. Quiddy Pay, Chop Robinson, Hassan Reddick, obviously a very weird situation where I don't know if he's actually going to play this year, oddly enough. Maybe it's going to just fall like every other holdout does, and it's just going to kind of fold like a cheap chair right at the end, and he's going to show up. But he seems kind of pissed, so we'll we'll see.
Team score here, 5.29. Helmet stickers, let's do this. Stronger, smarter, better.
I don't make mistakes. I'm not just like the rest of you. I'm stronger. I'm smarter. I'm better. I am better.
For having that number one IDP ranking here. Number six, Birmingham Blitz. Birmingham Blitz. Number four in total redraft value. Number six in starter redraft value. Good bench here, right? Kirk Cousins, James Conner, Najee Harris, Ramondre Stevenson, Xavier Worthy, all on the bench, which sort of goes to show you why this team is ranked number four in total redraft value. But they fall a little bit in starter redraft value. Certainly no top 10 quarterback on the roster. No top 10 wide receiver on the roster. David Njoku's the starting tight end, which is nice. But, you know, no top five tight end here that really moves the needle as much as some of those top flight tight ends can do. So I guess I don't know. Rob didn't mention if this league has best ball scoring in the playoffs or not. I don't know if it's the same as Get a Life. But if it is, then that would be good here. Because, boy, they have a lot of options.
It would be excellent. And I think regardless, the amount of depth is amazing from a roster construction standpoint. I mean, Brian Thomas Jr. at 112 was stealing. Fully stealing, in my opinion. I think I was obviously circumstance of the draft in a lot of different ways, but even in like the microcosm of the 110-112 range, still just like, wow, I love getting that pick. A.D. Mitchell at 205 is nice. So good drafting leads to good depth. Ray Davis at fourth round. Wow. So yeah, all very nice to see. Yeah, you're right. I think the only thing is that you maybe don't have the punch of some of the better teams we're going to talk about. You maybe lose some value with the scoring format from a guy like Chris Olave, who in a full PPR league, a lot of our algorithm will put him in as like a quality wide receiver one. Chris Godwin, volume guy as well. Do you maybe try to do a package deal here and take some of this depth and try to slam a bunch of it together?
Maybe. I mean, you can certainly see how the season goes. If you're dealing with a lot of injuries all of a sudden, you might need that depth for yourself. Yeah, I wouldn't panic at this point. I wouldn't do anything right now. Yeah. But maybe when you get closer to the playoffs, that could be an option. We should mention the trade here. They did draft Brian Thomas Jr. At 1.12. They ended up trading him away. They traded away Brian Thomas Jr. and Drake London. They get back, essentially, that's the trade. They get back Chris Olave and Xavier Worthy. Very like one-for-one-y kind of deal. Like you're trading. Like Olave and London are very similar in some ways. Like talented guys, haven't had good quarterback play. Yeah. Both young. And then Brian Thomas Jr. and Xavier Worthy, both like rookies who are going generally around the same area of the draft. So kind of an interesting deal there.
Yeah, I think it's kind of just a bit of a preference one, honestly, to me. Like, I would call that a very even trade overall. Like, it might shake out one way in 3 years that it looks bad, but on paper right now, I could see that working either way.
And apparently kickers were involved, but I'm not going to talk about kickers.
Well, I don't know what that position is. I'm not quite sure what you're referencing.
And there was another trade here as well. Looks like
themselves Njoku.
Yeah, it was a draft pick. The draft picks were involved. It's a little hard to read the CBS trade stuff, but they get Njoku out of that deal. It looks like they traded away Romeo Doubs and Michael Mayer in that deal.
Plus their first, Drake London, yeah. And then Drake London got flipped right away. Yeah, I don't know. I appreciate the movement. Does Drake London like move the needle? Because like he's maybe a better scoring in the format than Chris Olave. Like, could you make that argument?
I guess you could make the argument. I just don't know. I feel like both of those guys, we don't
We don't. Yeah.
I feel like we just know that they should be talented players, but I don't think we have a definition of exactly what they are yet.
No. I think that's super valid.
I mean, at least maybe we'll. This is the year for London. Like, if London doesn't have a good year with the quarterback play he should get this season, then I don't know. At that point, he's going to fall off significantly.
Yeah. I totally agree. I think, this is definitely a team that's going to win games early and can kind of maybe play. Looks like they're not afraid to make some moves, so can definitely kind of play the field and see. IDP, it's middle of the pack. Defensive line, I think, is a little deficient. DeForest Buckner is nice. Carl Granderson, Jared Versey is not enough. Linebacker, obviously a lot better. Zier Franklin, Robert Swain, two good scoring opportunities. And then enough at DB with the two safeties in Petrie and Metellus, but could use maybe some injection. We talked about some of those teams in the 10, 11, 12 spots that were sitting on some nice IDP pieces, and I don't think they would be overly costly. Might be something to maybe give you a bit of a boost without having to spend some of that offensive depth.
5.47 team score here. Just the tumbleweed sticker. For having no other stickers. Number five, Brigands. Ugh, I'm going to hear it from Rob again. Nice dynasty gaining roster. Number six in total dynasty value. They move up from number eight in total redraft value, number eight in both total and starter redraft value here. Very young team, 24.9 average starter age. They do already have the number four running back group in the league. I would say this is a team that, well, running backs in particular, very talented with Bijan Robinson and Travis Etienne. Very thin at running back because past Etienne, it's Ray Davis. Did they trade for him?
It looks like they picked him up from Birmingham as part of that Brian Thomas trade. Yeah, because you guys all definitely listen to every team, so you know that we just broke down both these trades between Birmingham and you today. But yeah, so it was a very pretty even trade overall with the flip of this is the team that's going to end up with Brian Thomas Jr. and Drake London. So and Romeo and Dubs as well, right? So really kind of transformed that wide receiver room. Probably would have ended up ranked fairly similarly, regardless of how it's going to go. We've got them eighth in starter value, ninth overall. London came in with Brian Thomas Jr. and Dubs. Really only would have had DJ Moore. They picked up Jalen Polk in the rookie draft at 206, which is maybe a little early for him from an ADP perspective. But from a player perspective, I think I'm okay with it. I think that's a decent enough pick there.
Yeah, it's one of those. It's like at the time it's an early pick, but from all the training camp praise, the fact that he's probably the starter alongside DeMario Douglas right now. I think at that point you feel okay about it, even though at the time it was a reach.
Yes, I think that's a perfect little breakdown there. We already talked about that very strong group of running back. Tight end, though, as part of a couple of the trades that they made, they did send out Njoku and left themselves with Dallas Goedert and Mike Gesicki.
We mentioned it before, but Goddard is not a great standard scoring tight. He just has never been a touchdown scorer.
No, and just the Eagles are just such a talented offensive roster with so many different people who can win inside the red zone, whether it's now going to be the addition of Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts' running ability, AJ Brown being a very good contested catch person. There's just a lot of people who are trying to get fed, and that has led to not a lot of touchdowns for Dallas Goedert. And he's not a big yards guy. He's a big kind of 10 to 15 yard big catches, great for football, not awesome for fantasy. So yeah, loss in a Njoku maybe does hurt this team more than the addition of Romeo Dubs there. I would
also say the pressure is kind of on Brian Thomas Jr. He is the last kind of flex play for this team. He's looked pretty good so far, apparently. I mean, early with the rookie stuff and training camp early on, it was like he's not doing anything. We have to be patient. And then all of a sudden he turned it on. I heard a theory that it's like he's like when the pads were not on, he kind of doesn't care. But once the pads go on, he's a different player. So that's kind of what it felt like with his with the news about him this offseason.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite prospects, and I do still have a lot of more faith than some in Trevor Lawrence that he's at least can definitely facilitate a proper wide receiver one from a fantasy scoring perspective. So, yeah, I think he is probably a linchpin to how this team does from a success standpoint this year. Him and Justin Herbert, I think Justin Herbert being ranked QB 18 is rude. I think he can do better than that. I understand when you lose Keenan Allen and the presence of Mike Evans on the IR, Mike Williams on the IR, that it hurts him a bit. But
they also gained a Harbaugh.
I think Harbaugh is more dynamic than people think. I think everyone thinks he's just going to come in and run a Michigan offense, and I think he's smarter than that, because you can't run a college offense in the NFL. Not that type of college offense.
Someone should tell Austin Eckler. He's complaining. He's like, they want to run the ball too much.
I know they're going to want to run the ball, and they will run more, for sure. But I just think you will rely on Justin Herbert a little bit. One thing I was excited to see from him that I don't know if we'll get to see as much is that he is a better runner than he's ever had to show. If you ever go watch his Oregon football, yeah, he had a little giddy up, and it might have been interesting. But
if you watch some of his early starts, he ran a decent amount, and he also got clobbered a decent amount. And I feel like he was like, I need to make a business decision here.
Lessons learned. Yeah, IDP, I don't know if it's a difference maker, but it's not going to hurt the team. Quinnen Williams, an excellent defensive tackle to own if you're going to end up starting one. The true defensive ends are a little bit weak, and Rousseau and Joey Bosa. Lucas Van Ness, you really hope, takes a step forward. Troy Anderson, Dre Greenlaw, Junior Colson, I think, has got an opportunity to really kind of surprise people and be one of those good rookie linebackers this year. So decent. And then I will mention Jesse Bates for you as the starting safety.
Thank you. Finally. 5.51 is the team score helmet sticker here. Mushroom gains between $25 and $50 of dynasty value. RML proofed. Highest rated RML staff ranking versus consensus. Playing with matches, youngest projected. Never mind. Let's do. Okay, so league of my own worst rated quarterback position. Let's play this one. Playing with matches. Youngest projected starting lineup in the league: Bijan 22, ETN 25, Drake London 23, BTJ 22. I saved everyone from having to listen to K-Fed. You're welcome. Number four, Marshans. I mean, that A is capitalized. Number six in total redraft value. Number four in starter redraft value. Young team, 25.7 average starter age. They do gain some dynasty value here. They move up to number four in the dynasty rankings. Trey Benson, Trey McBride, double-digit dynasty gainers. Where did we see Trey Benson go in the Get a Life League? It was
112. So
Okay, so it was about the same, 1.11. No, it was a couple days ago. We did a one quarterback league where Trey Benson went 1.04.
That's some love.
So now I'm like, I'm on edge. Like, where did Trey Benson get drafted? So 1.11 selection for Trey Benson. Quarterback and wide receiver. Our strengths here. Quarterback, of course, with Patrick Mahomes. It would be nice if they had a second quarterback who played football actively.
I mean, they've got 15 on the roster. I just don't see a real one.
That's the other thing. Like, why are we wasting so much roster space on just the worst quarterbacks you could ever imagine? I don't get it.
I'm unsure. For a team that is this highly ranked, it seems like it's a bit of an interesting pull. Specifically, I'll jump straight to IDP because my brain was like, where's your starting defensive line? Because they don't have one. they're sitting on Aaron Donald, who, you know, obviously sadly retired. Some of us are still holding on, hoping he comes back. He's not going to. But yeah, you gotta clear out some quarterbacks there and find some IDP on waivers. That's the first step, because out of those guys, you hold Carson Wentz because he's obviously your direct backup to Patrick Mahomes. That's nice. The rest of them?
Yeah, I don't see any.
Yeah, the rest of them.
Aaron Donald is still in their starting lineup for defensive line.
And yeah, I mean, your team's too good to do that. It's got excellent dynasty value. I mean, obviously for the redraft, it's not as strong, but it's still good. It's a team that we expect to make playoffs most times, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is a team that absolutely has a chance to make some noise this year. Wide receiver, number five wide receiver group, but they got Tyreek Hill and Puka Nacua here, which is amazing. Rashee Rice as a projected starter as well. I kind of, they drafted Xavier Leggett at 2.10. I'm torn on him because I do consider myself a somewhat analytical, you know, I like the analytics. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have a good analytical profile.
Nope. No, he doesn't. He was a shock first round draft pick in the NFL. I think when the on draft day, we were all like, really?
Yeah. So I was like all anti Xavier Leggett. And then I listened to him talk and I was like, oh, I kind of like him. Now I'm rooting for him. And now it's definitely tainted everything I think about Xavier. Like, I want him to succeed.
Yeah,
I'm talking myself into it.
His training camp weather reports were amazing. They're truly enjoyable. I mean, he's got opportunity. He's got draft capital, so he's probably gonna get. He'll get his shots, whether he can do it or not. And the team doesn't exactly need it. And I think at 210, I can't ever be like, well, you took a shot at a first round NFL wide receiver in the second round, like deep second round. I can get behind the logic, whether it pays off and how often it does. It remains to be seen a little bit, but
feels like this could be a Kansas City fan, by the way, with Mahomes, Pacheco, Tyreek Hill,
Justin Ross,
Rashi Rice.
Bunch of guys who tried to make the roster in the back end. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think so. Tight end is good, I think. I've got to talk to you about Trey McBride enough. Do you feel like Trey McBride is tight end 4, or have we baked in some value that's not actually there yet?
I think one big concern is just if no one else was received, like he was the only guy once Kyler came back who was really, it was like him and Greg Dortch. I know there's some Greg Dortch fans out there.
I would call myself one. Okay. Greg Dortch hopeful.
But it was really McBride and not much else. So the question, right. I think, the big question is, what does Marvin Harrison Jr.'s presence do to Trey McBride? Is it enough to knock it down? Tight end is such a one-note position, though. It's like, how far can he fall if he's good?
I don't know. TJ Hawkinson fell at tight end 15 because he got hurt.
Yeah, I mean, he's hurt. As long as he doesn't get hurt. Kittle had a weird fall in fantasy value. I don't completely understand why.
But
I think as long as McBride is healthy, he should be in that top 5 or 6. Is it possible he takes a step back from last year's stats? I think that's entirely possible.
Yeah, no, I think so too. Yeah, because just like Marvin Harrison Jr. is probably going to pull like 120 targets pretty easily, and that's going to be, some of them are going to come from Trey McBride.
Yeah. I mean, to play devil's advocate, he only had 3 touchdowns last year. If that offense is better overall, can he double that? Can he get to
full
7
year of
or
Kyler
8?
Murray? Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely some upside there, too. The running back position with Pacheco, Javonte Williams, Trey Benson. Javonte Williams being earmarked as a starter is maybe a little bit of a concern.
Yeah, definitely a concern. I don't trust anything about that Denver offense right now. Like, Sean Payton just wants his guys in there. I mean, I'm willing to hear Javonte Williams out, but I don't necessarily trust it.
Yeah, and I think that the Trey Benson pick probably speaks to that a fair bit. And then got some decent kind of shots behind him, Roschon Johnson, Tyrone Tracy, guys that maybe have an opportunity. Holding on to Cam Akers, who, I mean, at least showed us some cool spin moves in the preseason. Maybe something. We'll get to see that in the regular season. But
how about IDP here?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, need defensive line players. Go clear out your offensive roster. The rest of it's actually kind of nice, which is the more confusing part of it. Like, it doesn't look like it's been completely neglected. They just need to find that defensive line guy. Because Nick Bolton, Devin Lloyd makes a really nice linebacker group, and Hufanga Holland makes a good safety group. So maybe they just know something I don't. They're going to go find a defensive end pretty quick here, and it'll all be fine.
Mushroom, 5.87 is the team score. Mushroom sticker gains between $25 and $50 of dynasty value. Let's play this one, the Wilhelm Scream. Luke, that was actually live audio of any manager who's currently rostering Treylon Burks. Very sad to hear. Number 3, Gridiron Gumbies. Gridiron Gumbies. Number 3 roster. Number 3 in total and sort of redraft value. Adds Marvin Harrison Jr. at 1.02. Do you think they knew they were going to be getting Marvin Harrison Jr. at 1.02?
They were on the clock for 4 minutes and 41 seconds, so maybe not.
which works. It works. Helps this wide receiver group become the number 2 wide receiver group in the league. Justin Jefferson leads the way. Marvin Harrison Jr. to the number 2. Devontae Adams really hurt in standard scoring. I just noticed this. His His half point perception PPR ranking is closer to 10. I think he's like wide receiver 12. So he is getting dinged in this format. And then Zay Flowers is here. Christian Kirk is here. This is one of the deeper wide receiver positions I think we've seen.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it definitely keeps going, right? Like J-Mo Williams, Gabe Davis, maybe. I talked about Quentin Johnson being dead, but maybe he's not. Roman Wilson, like, there's shots back there, right? Like, it's good and deep and strong, and where most of this team's starters are going to come from, injuries or not. Even, like, you will be probably tapping Christian Kirk more weeks than we think, and you'll kind of see what happens because – I mean, for us to be in the top three and talking about a bad RB room is kind of interesting, especially in the, with the no PPR. It's a lot harder to kind of fix. And it's a team that takes a lot of pain from the scoring format. Very similar to our roster we just saw. It's Alvin Kamara, Aaron Jones, both guys who take big hits from the no points for receptions because it's where a lot of their bread and butter comes from as far as kind of giving them that boost. Neither of them have a ton of competition behind them. I mean, I don't know what happened to Jamal Williams, but I guess they just don't like him.
Yeah, he's not.
They get because like he looked like he was like, yeah, I know how to get in the end zone, guys. Like, I'll do it for you. And then they're like, no, Kamara's gonna get the carries. And he's like, okay.
They do have good bookends as well. Josh Allen at quarterback, Kyle Pitts, and Evan Engram at tight end. That's pretty
very
solid.
Nice. Like, yeah, very nice. I mean, that Evan Engram is like a safety blanket for if Kyle Pitts just makes us all very sad for the third straight year. It would be very nice. And
you keep taking shots at my boy Kyle Pitts.
It's because I own him like so much. I think I have him on like 7 or 8 rosters, and I just plug him in every single week, and then I get sad, and I'm like, I can't bench him because the day I bench him is the day he goes for 150-2. So you just gotta keep doing it. But you're right, Josh Allen definitely makes a big difference. Where was he? Picked up Drake May in the second round. Mm-hmm. It kind of feels where the quarterbacks are going. That makes sense. Got Roman Wilson, who I'm a huge fan of at 211. That's decent value. I think that's good. Is running back going to actually hamstring this team, though?
Yeah, I think that's the million-dollar question. It's really, and they're old, so not just a question of, like, this year, but long-term for this franchise.
Right, because you need to find solutions. Because
you do wonder, like, that 1.02... Could they have traded that for just an absolute haul and maybe fixed the running back situation while still helping the wide receiver situation? I don't know.
Something to maybe think about exploring.
IDP?
Strong, helpful. Obviously, anytime you have Myles Garrett, things are good on the defensive line. Roquan Smith is holding up very well in his twilight years of scoring, which is excellent. He's going to be our linebacker one. Jordan Brooks, I think, is still going to be able to produce quite well. So you've got two good linebackers. You're set at defensive line. DB maybe a little bit weak between Trent McDuffie and Cameron Curl, but it's enough. It's nothing that's going to hurt this team. So, yeah, it'll keep them competitive in the playoffs.
Team score 6.15. Helmet sticker, just the tumbleweed sticker. No other stickers. Number 2, Dezzed and Confused. Number 2, roster. Number 2 in total and starter redraft value. Ready for a title here. They are older, though. Before we get to the positions, I just wanted to mention it's an older team, 28.3. Average starter age on offense. They do lose significant dynasty value. But what's funny is they stay at number 2 for dynasty ranking, which kind of shows you how strong these top 2 teams are, at least in terms of redraft value. They are so far ahead of the field that it's kind of a 2-horse race at the top here. This team helped immensely by the number 1 running back group in the league, Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, Kenneth Walker, Joe Mixon, so it goes 4 deep with top 15 running backs. The wide receivers are no slouches either, though. Number 4 wide receivers, Garrett Wilson, Jalen Waddle, Cooper Kupp's the number 3. Right now, Amari Cooper is a backup.
That's wild, yeah. Tank Dell, a backup, too. Yeah. Keenan Allen. I mean, yeah, and like you stopped at the running backs of note, but there's decent depth behind that, too, right? Like Zach Moss, Jalen Warren, maybe not so much with the scoring format, but Marshawn Lloyd, like, goes very deep in multiple ways.
Yeah,
that is very strong. And then, I mean, how often have you got to see Dalton Kincaid not be the starter on a guy's team? Like, we're looking at George Kittle, Dalton Kincaid, even Dalton Schultz. Is like, there's some teams that are a little devoid of talent at tight end. And yeah, they'll rock Dalton Schultz as their starter all the time, and they'll be fine with it.
Jonnu Smith.
Yeah, Juju Smith. Dak Prescott, Tua is good. Michael Penix.
A project.
Yeah, a project pick at 2-7. Maybe. Maybe I can get on board for that. Obviously, we just mentioned how deep they were at every other position.
Right.
Group,
like, so. Everything is a luxury pick for this team.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. I mean, that's just, it's good all around. Waddle's health, I guess, is a concern if we're going to try to poke some holes. Cooper Kupp and Waddle has not played any football in like 4 weeks, and we're just not really talking about it because there's been other discussions. Ayuk took up everybody's mental capacity to talk about anything for like 20 days.
I would actually injury concerns in general for the wide receiver position. Jalen Waddle banged up a lot last year. And hurt already this season. Cooper Kupp banged up a lot last year. You know, Amari Cooper always tends to get dings here and there, but he's been relatively healthy.
Tank Dell takes shots.
Tank Dell took, Keenan Allen, not that he's been banged up recently, but yeah, I mean, there's definitely a number of guys on this roster who you do have to worry about a little bit with injuries. But
has the depth? So
yeah, they should be okay. And we're being nitpicky because it's such a strong.
Because your team's so good, we're trying to find something. But no, IDP guy, it's not deep, but it's strong. Micah Parsons, Aiden Hutchinson, Will Anderson you've got three of the best young defensive ends in the league. That's amazing. Micah Parsons is probably one of the true difference makers in an IDP scoring format like this with so few of them. He's like a guy who really makes a difference. Patrick Queen, Devin White is definitely enough at linebacker. Diggs is, I guess, you're just your one DB you're starting is kind of an interesting play. You're hoping he comes back. I think he's kind of actually a trash cornerback. I'm an Eagles fan, so maybe I'm a little bit biased, but like the two things that guy does is get interceptions and get cooked, which is good for fantasy football.
I saw a video of him catching footballs, which I guess is something they have to do. Seemed like a weird thing for a DB to be practicing, but okay. 6.94 team score here. Helmet sticker, Shifting Sands, rostering multiple running backs starting for new NFL teams. In this case, we've got Saquon and Joe Mixon fitting the bill there. Back to the start, loses over $50 of dynasty value. Daylight, top rated running back position. Let's play this one. I want my picks back.
I want my picks back. And I want David Putney. I need a punt returner.
Every time I hear that, it cracks me up. I need a punt returner.
Okay.
What's funny is I never watched that movie. And
me either.
The only context I have for the movie, I guess you too, is that line. Movie must be terrible.
It's so funny. Like, Sticky has neither. I love how like none of us have seen it. It's just like constantly quoted. And we're like, yeah, okay.
The number one, The One Who Knocks. I know that one. That's a Breaking Bad reference. Number one in total and starter redraft value, the number one roster here. 27.1 average starter age. They do lose some dynasty value, but not nearly as much as Desden Confused does, and this team easily holds on to that number one dynasty ranking. Derrick Henry, Travis Kelce both lose double-digit dynasty value here. Every position is in the top two. And quarterback, wide receiver, tight end, all number one in total value.
Holy cow.
Lamar, Kyler, ho-hum. Kyler Murray is a backup here. That's fun. Let's skip over that weak running back spot, which is only number two.
How trash at number two. That's awful.
Go to the wide receiver, CeeDee Lamb, Jamar Chase. That's pretty good. I think we saw that combo in the last league as well, right? George Pickens is exactly here. Stephon Diggs, just like an afterthought, very deep on the bench. Jordan Addison.
Just some random bench guys and Addison, JSN, Josh Downs, just some randos, you know,
and then
it's fine.
Travis Kelce and Brock Bowers here.
Yeah, so made that trade from 105, added Deontay Johnson to go up to 103. And then went and got Brock Bowers, which is interesting, but makes sense for the team. I mean,
ahead
we're kind
of neighbors.
Yes, for sure. We talk about luxury picks, I guess, and you've got to replace Travis Kelce.
And you know what's funny? There's another theme for Rate My League this year because I've done a ton of shows. You would be shocked at how many Travis Kelce teams have Brock Bowers as well. That is a combo I see. Maybe like there's definitely some confirmation bias in this because I'm looking for it at this point.
Right.
But I see it a lot.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Yeah, I mean, I guess there's like probably a little bit of like a correlation between like good teams that took a bit of a hit and landed in that kind of Brock Bowers range, and they're like, I'm gonna fix it.
Yeah, because Kelce didn't do quite as well as he's been doing. So a lot of those teams were kind of like middle of the pack. Once,
yeah,
and that's where Brock Bowers ended up. And then they're all like, well, I got a very old tight end. I guess I should get the next guy.
I don't know if he had to trade up. Like, I think at 5, you probably were like, I think Bowers probably ends up making it there, but maybe, you know, just be certain.
Well, maybe they had intel.
Yeah. Maybe the guy at 4 is really mad. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously very strong, have added depth where they needed to. Obviously, I think in a bubble, you're absolutely right that if we look at this in 3 and 4 years, Bowers over Neighbors probably doesn't look amazing. But for this team and its roster construction, I think you can get on board for it, especially if there was to be a Travis Kelce injury. All of a sudden, now you have Bowers rather than Noah Fant. Mm-hmm. And when you're trying to win, that's important. And then we'll finally crawl over to this horrendous running back room.
Shameful. That is
Jonathan Taylor, Derrick Henry, Kyren Williams, Rashad White, Tony Pollard, waiting for Nick Chubb because you're never going to start him anyway, but he's there. And then Charbonneau, like, it's very, 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 very deep.
Yeah, they have just a ton of players. I mean, should we spend any time talking about Kyren Williams? I know we sort of mentioned it before with Blake Corum, but...
Yeah, you talked about it. Yeah, I mean, obviously, it is a little bit of a concern when the head coach is talking about his starting running back getting punt return duty, because that's not what starting running backs do. So... I don't know. I don't know if you trust it. It's preseason. It's Sean McVay. Who knows? But
what's also funny, though, Kyren Williams is technically the weakest starter on this team.
As like 24-year-old running back 8. Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It's really good. I mean, yeah, like, you're insulated from injury. You're very flexible from trades. You're sitting on their own. I will say it's the worst rated IDP team.
Yep.
It doesn't have difference makers, really. It's got Jalen Carter's a nice defensive tackle. You're really hoping he takes a step forward and can become a difference maker from a sack tackle for loss perspective for the Eagles. Linebackers, not weak. TJ Edwards, Jack Campbell's enough. It's good scoring. Levante David's still going to do okay. Even Kenneth Murray. So you've got, like, I think you're going to get most of your starters out of that linebacker group, and you're probably going to do comparable to what other guys do. But you will probably be able to beat this team from an IDP scoring perspective. But
you're going to get housed everywhere.
You're going to get absolutely housed in the offense. I mean, yeah. Sorry to the rest of you guys who've probably turned this show off because they didn't want to hear this part.
Team score here, 8.26. Helmet stickers, spin it, top-rated quarterback position, separate top-rated wide receiver position, block, release, catch, top-rated tight end position, disgusting, absolute garbage, lowest-rated IDP. But let's play this one, Destroyer of Worlds.
Now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds.
For having that top-ranked team, we did it. We counted down 12-1. Thank you to Golden Empire. Thank you to Rob again for setting this all up. You can follow me still on Twitter at RateMyLeague. Luke, where can we follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter at DynastyDiehard.
Have a great season. Good luck this year. Hopefully we'll get to talk to you again in the future. Adios.